Cold, crowded, deadly, how U.S. meat plants became a virus breeding ground. With thousands of workers sick, plants are closing, and the food supply is faltering. This by Peter Waldman, Lydia Mulvaney, and Polly Mosendez. By late March, Raphael Benjamin's family was pleading with him to stay home from work, even if it cost him his job. He promised he would, but not until after April 10th. That would be his work anniversary, his 17th at Cargill Inc.'s pork and beef processing plant in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, a milestone for topping up his pension when he retired in October. So Benjamin, who was 64, soldiered on, a second shift worker earning $15.35 an hour. Around him, colleagues were falling ill. On the employee grapevine, people said it was the coronavirus. Supervisors said that wasn't true and told workers not to discuss who might be infected. But before long, COVID-19, the illness caused by the virus, ran through entire departments. By April 7th, 130 of the plant's 900 employees had tested positive, according to the workers' union, United Food and Commercial Workers International, but neither Cargill nor local officials were disclosing any numbers. Amid the information void, Benjamin kept working with growing unease. March was a time of spreading disease and denial across the U.S. meat and poultry industry. Laborers in the immense slaughterhouses and packing houses passed the contagion on processing lines and in locker rooms, then in their homes. Plants began to slow or go idle. The toll on workers and the nation's food supply is only now becoming clear. By mid-March, there were reports of panic buying, and President Trump and other federal officials sought to reassure the public that the food supply was sound. "You don't have to buy so much," he told Americans on March 15th. "Take it easy, relax." Plants were running overtime to meet the surge in demand. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue weighed in on April 15th. "In the United States, we have plenty of food for all of our citizens.